Okay? So, Jesus the peacemaker, we'll call this. Or don't have fights in church. Have you ever used the phrase, "Oh, come to God, you'll be at peace"? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I made it look like I did, but I don't actually. Not yet. We can say that, but it's drivel unless we're at peace. You know, why say come become a Christian, you get peace, but then in life we're just all over the place and erratic and angry and worried. So what is it to be at peace? What is it to be peaceful? What is it to be a peacemaker? And in James, he's teasing out what faith looks like in practice. And last time we looked at what it was to be wise. Okay? And if you're wise, it shows itself in doing good works for Jesus in his church. All right? And tonight, the point is, if you're wise in God, if you've got God, it shows itself in peacemaking. Just look at James chapter 1, verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. All right? God's way is not in us being angry. It's in us being peacemakers. Was Jesus a peacemaker? Yes, because in Matthew 5, you just read to me that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Peacemakers. You also read, if you're angry at people and you think they're foolish and you hate them, you are in danger of hell. That's Matthew 5 again. Luke says, if you're puffed up and exalting yourself, God will humble you. If you're humble, God loves that. Right? Not puffed up, not angry, not hostile. Finally, God be merciful to me, the sinner, in the Greek there, is one of the best prayers in the whole Bible. Not, I'm amazing and much better than other people. No, that doesn't breed the peace of God. All right? So here's some questions. Have you ever been in a fight? All right. A physical fight. Yeah, Levi clocked me yesterday, actually, in the jaw. So I've been in one with a one-year-old. Have you ever been in a real physical fight? Right, have you ever been on an online fight? An online fight. Like a forum, you know, attacking, or Facebook. Yeah. Right. I mean a fight. Hostile, angry, ranting. Have you ever been in a fight in your brain, in your thoughts about people? I could do with killing them. No, or I'll assassinate their character and kill their character. That's a fight. That's hostile. Okay, if I wrote you a letter and I said this and Tom read it out of the front, Owen says, make sure you deflate the bouncy castle after church. Would that be weird? Not if we had a bouncy castle, Gemma, but we don't have a bouncy castle. So would it be weird?
Yeah.
It would.
Bit of a letdown.
Yes. It would be. It would be weird because we don't have a bouncy castle. All right. There's something in the coffee tonight, isn't there? All right, if James writes a letter and he says, be peaceful, it's not weird. If he says, who, chapter 4, verse 1, what is causing fights among you? He says it because conflicts and fights will happen. That is why he has to write about it. He says you've got to act a certain way. Jesus and James do not say Christians will never be in fights and conflict, but they tell us to act a certain way because it's possible that we all at some point will be in a conflict. I don't write a letter saying don't deflate the bouncy castle. It's nonsense. It's not going to happen. We haven't got one. But if someone writes a letter saying this is how you act in a conflict, it's because even Christians will at some point all be in some sort of fight with someone. And in this context, it's in the church. Okay? So it's going to happen, folks. And we want to know more of God tonight. And it might be, if we don't know God, we're not acting a certain way. And we need to repent and change a certain area of our lives. Tonight we're looking at peacemaking and conflicts and arguments and hatred towards other people. All right? All following so far. Here's another question. Who wrote the book of James? James. Good. Right. Has James ever been around conflict? From what you think you know of James? Fire away. Yes. What conflict, Mrs. Knott? We'll get to that in a minute. That's the next question. Has James ever been in a conflict? This question is, has James ever been around conflict? It's a distinction with a difference.
Well, there's mentioned like zealots and received by rabbis and stuff. So in Jerusalem, there's a lot of that going on.
That's not this question. Has James ever been around conflict? Oh, yeah, I suppose it is this question. It's a difficult question. Right, whose brother is he? He's the little brother of Jesus. Would he have watched his brother go through conflict?
Yes.
This is a personal letter of deep, profound experience. As if PJ was watching Johnny going through a conflict. And he writes about it. James would have seen people who opposed his brother, who mistreated his brother, who slandered his brother, who arrested his brother, who killed his brother. And how did he see Jesus respond? He saw him respond in a perfect, gracious, godly, truthful, and helpful way. Didn't he? Okay, next question. Has James ever been in a conflict from what you know? Now we've got Mrs. Knott saying he was with Paul. Let me tell you a story first. Did you hear the one, and it's true I think, where the mum on a Sunday morning was knocking on her son's bedroom door saying, "You're late for church. You've got to go to church." And the son's saying, "I don't want to go to church today. I'm not getting on with any of them. I don't want to look at them. I can't be around them anymore. They're mean to me. I don't want to go." She's going, "Come on, get dressed. You got to." And he goes, "No." And it's like 10:30. "Look, you're late. Quick." He goes, "I'm not going, man." And she goes, "Well, you're the pastor. You've got to go." Right. Has James ever been in conflict? Yes. James is the pastor of a church in Jerusalem. It's the mothership church. It's a big church with loads of influence. And in those days, if there was any doctrinal controversy in any church, they would come to Jerusalem and hammer it out. So he's constantly got theological arguments about God and the church buzzing around him. Any time a pastor or a leader had a problem in the church, in the areas, they went to Jerusalem to take care of it. Which is why you read that Paul often travelled to Jerusalem to meet with James and also Peter and the other Jerusalem pastors to sort out issues. So James has been in conflict in church as well. Last question about James. Does anybody know how he died according to church history? He was... No. Right, according to church history, this James, who was a pastor, had a group within the church who rose up against him. They wanted him to stop preaching about Jesus, and they caused a riot, just like they did with Jesus, his brother. And they seized him, and they took him to the top of the temple, and they threw him off. But he didn't die, so then they all surrounded him and beat him to death, murdering James. The end of Christians is not always pleasant, but it is always glorious in the eyes of God. Okay? So that puts some context on now with this going on here. And James is writing, it's a harvest of righteousness is sown by peace, by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and fights among you? All right? So church, my friend, I think biblically is better described not as a hospital, but a battleground, where we are in a war together against our sin, against the world, against the devil. And we come here to fight, not though to quarrel. So, my friend, when conflicts arise in your life, within church or without of church, you've got two options. Ready? Handle it the way Jesus wants you to handle it. Or handle it a devilish way, which is not of Jesus. Okay? Right. And now we root out quarrelling so we can deal with it. Did you ever watch, was it Newcastle United in the 90s where Graham Lasseau had a fight with David Batty? Or was it Leeds? And it wasn't Graham Lasseau. It was definitely David Batty. Do you remember when the two players on the same team had a fight? And it shamed the whole team. It was either Leeds or Newcastle. You remember, Tom?
I think it was Newcastle.
It was ridiculous to the honour of the team. And if we are at each other's throats here, we cannot say this is a religion of peace, can we? Okay? So, what causes quarrels and fights among you? All right. What's the first answer according to the text? In verse 1 of chapter 4. Any answers? It begins with a P. Passions. What other word have you got there if it's not passions? Lusts, right, okay. And are at war within you. What other word have you got there for war? End of verse 1. Passions are at war within you. Someone else got a different version?
War.
As long as you got war. The word is best written there as war. What causes war? God said it's never God's fault. It's from the evil of human heart. It's not wise. It's not godly. It comes from passions. Okay. Have you ever been hurt by someone? And that passion you feel. James is saying, be careful how far you go. Have you ever been angry at someone? Passionately angry. Passion. Have you ever been upset? I am so upset with you. Have you ever been frustrated? Passionate. Frustration in church. Oh no, they did it again. You will be. And you've got to act the way Jesus wants you to act. That is the mark of a Christian. Now in club, particularly in teenage club, I'm not sure we have any Christians among them yet. During games, they inevitably show passion and anger towards one another, and someone storms off in a passionate huff. And it shows they are not yet Christians, because they do it every single week. A board game can show where a person stands with God. Passionate, warring that a referee did not give me a decision. And these things war against my life with God. Isn't that awesomely practical and worrying? Traffic jams. Passion! Now, James, just turn up 1 Peter 2, verse 11, and we'll all read what it says. Well, you can all go there if you want. It's just hammering the point home. Even Christians deal with these issues of feeling affronted by fellow believers. And it can do us damage if we react the wrong way. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, Jimmy.
I'm reading from the ESV. Beloved,
sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul.
Passions of me. That, according to James, causes quarrels and fights in church. Now that is on you, with the power of God, to react a certain way. Next question. What else do quarrels and fights come from? And this time it begins with a C. And you may have seen it also in the Ten Commandments. Naomi would get it, because she always gets this one. It comes from coveting. Coveting is when you want what somebody else wants, and you are not content with what you've got. And that causes wars and division in church. It goes like this. I want what they have, quietly in my heart. They have power. I want power. Or, if we're single, they're married. I wish I was married, and I covet them. Or they have children, and we don't have children, and we spend our time stewing over why have they got children and I have not. Or if you are married and you're miserable, you look at the single people and you wish you were single like them. Or they've got a job and I've just lost a job, coveting. Or they got good grades and I got bad grades. They're healthy and we're sick. And so we want what somebody else has got. And we want to take it from them. Because if we can't have it, we don't want them to have it either. Or if they've got it, we want it too. And that wars against our spirit because that is not accepting what God has given us and has planned for us. What, according to James, is a mature godly church? Are you ready? It's that the leaders and teachers have wisdom. They live the word. And in this area, that they're peacemakers. All right? And we fight evil desires like that. And then we teach the congregation to do the same thing. Ogmore Vale. When a conflict comes your way this week, you must act like Jesus. That is the mark of a mature church. Here's a question. Does God grow a church? Is this God's church? Yes, not. Does he grow a church and give the increase? Yes, he does. Okay. Did God bring you here safely tonight? Okay. James. Did you come here by car? Yes. Did the car bring you here tonight?
Partly.
The answer is yes. Did God bring you here and use the car to get you here?
Yes,
he did. What does God use in Ogmore Vale to grow his church? He uses people. Jesus-centered, loving people. To do his work. To show people that there's something about heaven in us, in you. So he uses you and me in the heat of conflict and how we respond in board games, in any sports, when we're hurt by someone, when we lose our job. He uses us reacting a godly way to grow his church. Yes, this is God's work. It's God's church, but he doesn't bypass people. He uses you. People are watching us, that we have contentment with God. So, we live out humility, love, and good works instead of squabbling among ourselves. And if you have a disagreement with someone, we read earlier that Jesus says, go and sort it with them. Do it. Don't slag them off. Go to them. Talk it through. Pray it through. People's souls are on the line when we're dealing with our responses to conflict. That's why I don't bother watching EastEnders. I can't stand it, because their wisdom is not of God. They are always fighting, aren't they? It's just devilish anger at one another. How dare you affront me? I'm like, oh, sure, get over yourself. What have you been forgiven from God for? Loads. So start forgiving other people. This is life in Christ. You are what you watch. Careful what you watch. You are what you eat as well. It's the same with what you watch. Oh, I can't be dealing with these standards. How depressing. We are to not covet what other people have and be content. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. And what is it? And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. How dare we draw swords with people who cross us? Who do we think we are? Answer, we think we're the Lord. That's got to die with Jesus. New life has got to raise with Jesus. Let us live for his glory. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was a peacemaker. Question. And we're sort of winding it all up. Next question. Have you ever known a church to split when a group leaves angrily and bitterly because they've had a disagreement with another? I venture to say everybody in this room at some point has come across that experience. We are not above that happening here unless we diligently, daily pray to the Lord for wisdom to love others and love him and follow him. That's why James says this is the devil's wisdom at work when we're not peacemaking. It's just love of self waging and warring. So verse 2 just says there about war. You desire what you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you can't obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you don't ask. Now, just verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Have you ever had unanswered prayers? Right. James says here, sometimes you can ask things of God and you're asking them with the wrong spirit. That's why he's not answering. Have you ever prayed about a situation, but really, you're just in a fight with someone and you want God to be on your side and sort out the fight? Such answers, James says, are the wrong motives. In everything we do, we ask for wisdom to honour him and live to honour his name, not drag God into our own personal wars and preferences. So it'll be people of prayer who say, God, thy will be done. Just going to read chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. All right, so we're to pray for his honour and good things for his glory. Now, shall I go here? Yes. So it starts with you. Now, there's one more verse I want you to look up. Starts with us here. Go to 1 Timothy. I've gone the wrong way there. It's backwards. Go to 1 Timothy. This is key. Key. 1 Timothy 4, verse 19. Great, there isn't a 1 Timothy 4, verse 19. What I mean is 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. You ready? Christians, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Keep a close watch on yourself. Now, if I were to say I want to put on muscle, I would probably go to Tom. Why? Because Tom is in better shape than me. I would beat him in a fight, but he's got more muscle than me. Right? The trainer has to be in better shape than the trainee. You wouldn't go to someone who's out of shape to get you in shape. I wouldn't go to anyone else really in this room other than Tom to put on muscle, because Tom is more muscly than me. If I go to a gym and I want to get in shape, I want the trainer to be in good shape so he can tell me and show me what it is to get and be in shape. Right. Okay. Here's Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy saying, excuse me, sir, keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Because in Ogmore Vale, there are people who are at war with themselves, with their friends, in work. They are all over the place. They are sick and tired, and they really do want peace. And so this church keeps diligent watch on ourselves, that we have the peace of God, that we are not quarrelsome and full of hate, that we do have the forgiveness and peace of God, and therefore we can show by the way that we respond in conflict that we have a hope that they too can have, that this is God's world, and whatever becomes us, he is in control and we can trust him. And he's so kind to give us the things that we've got in life, and we do not covet. We love him. We're not in hell. Anything above that is a total undeserved blessing. So, we conclude. When conflict and war comes in our hearts, minds, on the internet, in church or work or the street this week, there's two ways to respond. God's way or the worldly way. Now, the worldly way is this. Are you ready? It's to run from the fight. It's to run from the fight, which Jesus didn't do. He conflicted it head on. Some people would go like this. I've had a bad relationship, therefore I'm never going to have a relationship again, and I'll avoid any conflict. Okay? I know some people whose parents went through such a terrible divorce, they say, I will never get married. Because I was hurt so much, I will just avoid the conflict. I know people who go home to such a bad home life, they say, I never want children of my own because I know what my upbringing was like. I want to avoid it. Some people have such bad friendships, they isolate themselves. They don't go to church, they don't open up to anyone, they retreat. So they never have the opportunity to be hurt again. They say, I've been speared in my heart one too many times, so this wall comes up. And they have no fellowship with anyone. That is not the way to peace. That is withdrawing emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. Okay? That is weak in the wrong sense. That is not being Christ-like. To respond in the godly way. We look at Jesus and that he was with sinners, and that he had patience with those who hurt him, that he trusted his Father, that all things will work for good. He had the right view of people. Even when they hurt him, he knew they needed to be saved, and they're just acting as sinners, which is what they are. So he doesn't give up on people. He stays with them. And now we'll just end on James. So finally go back to the James passage. Sorry, I did say that. Peter 1 was the last one. James, in chapter 4, gives some very practical advice for being in the heat of the moment. Okay? And just go from number 7. Submit yourselves to God. Doesn't say withdraw and be isolated, does it? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Repent of your own sins. Purify your heart. Don't be double-minded. And then, verse 10, we'll deal with verse 9 another day, because that's an interesting one. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. So, we come to Jesus. We walk in newness of life. We die to self and our selfish reactions of wanting other people dead who cross our path. We pray for them. We're patient with them. We kick them up the backside when they need it. We tell them off when they need it. But we act and love like Jesus. It's not, I need to win this fight. It's this. Jesus Christ needs to be honored in all my behavior, in all my attitudes, and I die daily to myself to honor the King. One commentator says this, there are 9 things that having Christ allows you to do, and I end with reading this list. You get to see a sin, that'll help you love other people more. You get to be quieter, not louder. That'll help you with peacemaking. You get to listen more to people and speak less. You get to submit to godly authority. You get to resist the devil. You get to draw near to God. You get cleaned up. Our lives are no longer a shambolic mess. We get to be more patient, that he will do right in the end, even if we've been hurt. And we don't judge other people in the wrong sense, because he is in control. And all that, a big vision of our Lord Jesus Christ, will help us be sons of God, peacemakers, for his name's sake. Amen.